genuine backup number. That is my bat phone.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. If that's all right, it'd probably be somewhere around, I don't know, maybe 10:30 in the morning.
And I should be alive then. Because, you know, I stay up late night watching Star Trek on the West Coast feed. And by the way, kudos to our person out there in California. And also to our friend in Ohio that checked in tonight. Well, I watched the West Coast feed about 4 o'clock in the morning because that's what I do. I was a third shifter. I'm a graveyard guy, so I do that. So then I eventually fall, pass out, and I wake back up about 10 o'clock, usually when it gets warm on my side of the house.
Well, if you'd rather I call later, just say so. But I got something I need to discuss with you, but I want to do it over the phone if that's all right.
Trouble, Emma.
Oh, no.
You are clear. Back to the net.
Okay, Robert. Talk to you tomorrow. You take care, and I appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us on the for the rag chew portion a little bit this evening. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Next up is Mr. Chad, KO4NUE, over there in Campobello. Mr. Chad, what have you been up to there, young man?
Here and everybody on the net. I just want to drop by for a minute and pick up a little bit from where we left off last night. Did N4DJC, did he check in tonight, Gary?
Yes, sir, he did.
All right, well, I hope he's listening. Because I told you last night we got to talk about the old waves and, you know, things, granddaddy's. Daddies, granddaddies, things like that. So I went in the cabinet today, was looking for it, hadn't seen it in a while, finally found it. But I told you when I was younger, well, granddaddy, he taught me how to cook. So I wrote down a bunch of recipes way back then. I don't know what date this was, probably in the 80s, I'd say. But I'm not going to read all recipes to you, but I'm just going to take a minute and read the way some of the verbiage, which is kind of neat here. One of them is his sauerkraut recipe. Now, he was, hang on, let me, it's okay I talk about this with you, Gary, right?
Oh, yeah.
The book be this little book I got be broke into two parts. The front part is his recipes, and the back part is Meemaw's recipes. He didn't want Meemaw's recipes mixed with his recipes because Meemaw can't cook. He said. So I got the front of this book's got, you know, all his in it. Meemaw's are in the back. So at any rate. One of the recipes in question here is sauerkraut. So, well, I'm not going to read the whole recipe because I don't bore everybody. But a 10-20 head of cabbage and 1.5 cup of salt. And it gives the directions here on how to, you know, you got to bruise the cabbage and da-da-da. But it says, this can also be made from turnips mixed with cabbage, green tomatoes mixed with cabbage, and crab apples in hard times. And use free running salt only. So, you know, when you get a recipe from somebody and it says you can do this in hard times, you reckon the man's lived it?
Well, they think so, Chad. That's like, I'm sure you've heard of people drinking acorn coffee. I have done that. And it was not because I didn't have other coffee. It was because I really wanted to try it. And it's not the best stuff in the world, but it's wet and it'll wake you up. And it's not, like I said, it's not the greatest in the world. But, yeah, hard times. You'd be surprised what people will do.
six wine in here, different kinds of wine. Got one of them, I got salt cured ham and sauerkraut. Here's another good one here. Farmer's cheese. And I made a note in here. How to get rennet. You know, rennet is what makes the cheese hard. It makes the whey or liquid set sauerkraut. A little bit of mustard, fat on the top of it. Heard the whey. The whey is nothing. But, you know, where to get rennet if you can't buy it. And that comes out of a calf stomach. So that's what I just want. But just the whole book's full of just all kind of recipes, breakfast meals, you know, and in the back, and we'll see them. But let me set the radio drop. Played all day. I didn't win not one set. So, just interesting. I thought I'd share that with you. I know we got talking about recipes and old ways last night, and I went and dug my book up to, you know, thinking about Pat and all. So, I figured I'd share with you.
JOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. JO4NUE, Mr. Chad over in Campbello. Well, Chad, I really enjoy those old recipes and things. Joy has got her mother's recipes. She's got some that my mother gave her, and she's got a box in there in the kitchen, and she's got several recipe books. And some of them are old recipe books that came from churches years and years ago, where the ladies would get together and print up a bunch of recipes for what they were going to cook and what they were, you know, what they ate and that sort of thing. And so she's got all kinds of recipes in there, but I would love to look at that book next time I'm over at your place.
I'll let you look at it. It's not chock full or anything, but I mean, there's, I don't know, 10, 12 of them in here. The last one I'm going to leave you with was Meemaw's in the back. Meemaw's fruit jelly. I ain't going to read the recipe. Like I said, I won't bore everybody. But at the bottom, she made me write, this recipe was passed from great-grandmother Loftus to Meemaw, then to me. Don't let him tell you any different. So, I'm assuming that meant that maybe they was fighting over the recipe or something. And maybe Meemaw brought it into the marriage from her side. I'm assuming that's what that means. I don't remember really why I wrote it. Of course, she was standing over me when I wrote it, so I'm assuming she made me write it. But she wanted credit for it, not him.
I have to give credit where credit's due, right?
Those two, you sure do. You know, Meemaw, she's still alive. She's 94. I might go up there and visit with her tomorrow and, you know, show her this book. I'm sure she won't remember. Her mind's not too good. But, you know, so the last page is he gave me Granddaddy Hightower's Framing Square. This is not a regular Framing Square. It's full size, but it's got some unusual stampings on it, not for framing. You know, you go to Lowe's and buy one of those big Framing Squares, it's got the hip rafters, you know, jack rafters, and how to figure all that, the cuts. This square don't have that on it. It's got a Doyle board foot count calculator, scale calculator on it. Not a push button calculator, but, you know, you know what I mean, stamped into the steel. And he always wanted to build a barn. So he gave me the square, took me out there and showed me how to use it. You know, measure the diameter of the tree, and then you figure out how many board footage is in the diameter of the tree. So we got a board footage count of this barn me and him's going to build. And, you know, how many trees we needed. I mean, I just remember the whole ordeal, you know. When to cut the trees, you can't cut them till the sap's down. So we needed 26 trees, 22 inches or greater in diameter to end up with 3,250 board foot to build this barn. So I just, you know, back on memory lane tonight, I'm glad I found the book.
I'm glad you found the book as well. And it's always good to go back and go down memory lane, especially with stuff like that. And that's something that nobody can take away from you, no matter how hard they try. But I would take that book up when you go visit with me, Ma. Joey's aunt had basically the same problem. That lady could remember stuff that happened 50 years ago like it was just 5 minutes ago, but the stuff that happened last night or last week, she couldn't remember any of that. So take it over there, and you might be surprised.
Okay, I will. I need to go visit with her anyway, and, I'll take it up there and see if she can remember any of it. I suspect she might remember that jelly recipe. I don't know. We'll see. I'll go jog her memory and see what she's got to say. But, last thing I'm going to let you know, what started this last night was we got talking about salt-cured ham. So, that was what prompted me to go in there and find the recipe. So, I got the recipe here. And 3 days per pound. First note, make sure that the ham is a fresh kill, and the best cure will be from the warmth of the animal. So there you go. And I remember him telling me that's why you butcher in November. So you soft it up, they stay cold right out of the cure. So there you go, Gary.
To me, Chad, that's amazing. But there's a lot of stuff that we don't think about anymore, and that if push come to shove, I don't know if we could do it or not. Even if we had the recipe, we'd have to trial and effort, trial and error, I guess. Till we got it right, but you've got the best part of it right there in front of you, so I'd hang on to it. And thanks for bringing that to us. That was really enjoyable.
I just, I didn't want to bore anybody, but just wanted to let you know. All right, bud, 73, thank you for calling the net, Gary. And Robert's right, you do a good job, and nobody's really, thanks you for that. So I just want to say thank you. You do a great job, and just appreciate you. So with that, I'll say 73, Scary. You have a nice night, sir. Cable 4 NUE, I'm clear.
Well, tell Miss Anna we said hello, and sit back and enjoy that book. I know you've probably not read all through it completely yet, but it might be fun to do. I know I enjoy reading some of my mother's handwritten things. From time to time, my dad didn't write that much, but I've got a couple of things from him, from back a long time ago. Every once in a while, I'll drag them out and go over them, and it sure does flood my memory. But appreciate you bringing it to us. You take care. Tell Miss Anna we said hello, and I'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. We'll do it again. Do we have any other comments? Or any other comments? I got two more rack chewers. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS, KC4EZM. Give me a radio check, please.
Got a little bit of white noise on you, but it's sounding good. You're perfectly readable.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's 5 watts into a J-pole, and just got this radio back from Yaesu today, so I wanted to make sure that it was working. So thank you a lot, Gary. KI4DOS, KC4EZM.
Fine for you, Harry. 5 watts from where you are into the repeater. That's a pretty good haul anyway. And sounding good. Like I said, there's just a little bit of white noise in the background, but you are perfectly readable. You sound fine. But hope that helps you out a little bit. In the meantime, you take care there, young man. We'll talk at you a little bit later. Next up on the rag chew list is Mr. Larry, KK4JBQ over there in Greer. Mr. Larry, you said Donna would be home tomorrow. I guess you will be happy about that.
4DOS, KK4JBQ. Yes, 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 a happy man I am. Sound like Dr. Zeus, didn't it? Oh, gracious. It's been a whirl because, you know, she left to go party. Some folks that she knows from New York, about Rochester area. We're coming down. They usually do this time of year. They have her goddaughters, Evie and Abby. Yeah. And they're sweet children. They are. One is 8 and one is 14. And they're just sweet as they can be. Very different, these two girls. So we're going to celebrate their birthdays along with two adults that were born the same day. And then also a 50th wedding anniversary. This was just, you know, one big party all week. I make it sound like that, but that's, you know, from what she can tell me over the phone, that's kind of what it sounded like. She did an art classes with the girls. She took them art supplies. Donna has come so far, really, up until about 5 years ago, she would, you know, I was painting watercolor and taking watercolor classes and all that stuff, and she'd just say, well, I have not one creative bone in my body. You know, she worked many years as an accountant with numbers and such. But in retirement, she's found that she is really an artist. She makes some beautiful stuff. So she was passing that along to her godchildren. And, well, it's just nice. But now she left me here alone with the cats, all 18 of them. I don't know. We've got some at the front door and some at the back and 3 inside. And I'm going to take care of them, of course. But then 2 days before she left, we got a note from the Homeowners Association that they were going to pressure wash the buildings. And, well, that was on top of, you know, other things. And I spent the whole day yesterday kind of cleaning up after them. Don't want to go into that. KK4JBQ.
Larry, I tell you, it sounds to me like that that is exactly what they have done, is had a party all week. But that is absolutely fantastic that all of those things come together at the same time. You know, most of the stuff, you know, is so scattered out that you can't celebrate several things at one time like that. But that is absolutely amazing. These folks that say that they don't have a creative bone in their body sometimes, you know, Joyce tells me, she says, I can't draw, but you put a paintbrush in her hand and she paints freehand, and it's astounding. And me, on the other hand, I'm not artistic in that way. I can't draw that well, and I don't paint that good, according to Joy. I paint to suit me, but I don't paint to suit her. I'll leave it at that. But I enjoy building stuff and doing stuff with, you know, with my hands and that sort of thing. But as to create an art project or something of that nature, to give you an example, we had a house over in Greenville, and Joy wanted a flower bed out front. And she was telling me how she wanted it and all of this, and I just couldn't see it. And I said, okay. I said, come on out here in the yard. And she went out in the front yard, and I got the hose pipe. I said, you put this hose pipe where you want your flower bed, and I'll dig it. And once we got it done, you know, she got the shape of it the way she wanted it. And then I could see it a little better. And then when we put the trees in it and the flowers and all that, it was really gorgeous. And people came by and patted me on the back and said, oh, you got a beautiful flower bed. You did real well with that. And I said, I didn't do nothing. All I did was the manual labor.
Keen idea. Outlining the, you know, outlining your work so that you make it just as she saw it in her mind. That's a great idea. Well, so Donna returns tomorrow, and it'll be the two of us again. I think it's been just the lonely house, you know. It's not usually jumping or anything like that. We're quiet people, but it makes a big difference when it's just you and the cats and the walls. You know, so I'll be real happy when she gets home, and we'll celebrate with a meal and get on back to work, because you know there are things that have been left to do. Yeah, you know, that she will have work to do. And I've kind of been putting things off. Yesterday was such a draining day. You talked earlier with someone about how the weather it just drains you when you're out there. And, well, yesterday I experienced that. I could not stay more than maybe 20 minutes in the sun. And in the shade, maybe not more than a half an hour. Those temperatures, I guess I'm just spoiled. That's what it is. Human beings are so easy to spoil. Well, anyway, Gary, I have enjoyed your net tonight. It's been varied. It's been interesting. Lots of people talking about different things. What I didn't hear from Chad, I made a note here, is to ask him about whether that recipe book contained anything about canning tomatoes. Last time he spoke about that, they were concerned about whether it was done as it should be done. If he's still online, maybe I could ask him that question. KK4JBQ.
Station, see if he's still around.
All right, I'll do just that. KO4NUE. KK4NUE, KK4JBQ.
KQKO4NUE. No, Larry, the only thing in there about tomatoes is how to dry them. Meemaw always keep some dried tomatoes in the house. She dry them out. She put them on a sheet, slice them thick, put them on a sheet out there on the barn, on the tin, in the heat. And the sheet would, you know, help pull the moisture out of the tomatoes, and would dry them. And then when they got dried, you could bend the sheet and peel the tomatoes off. And she kept them in olive oil in a quart jar. So you have salad or pea salad or something like that. She'd cut the dried tomatoes up and, you know, put them in whatever. And she'd always say, if you make something too wet, you know, like slaw or something, you get too much moisture in it, you could diced up them tomatoes, and it helped pull some moisture out. So that's all I got in there about tomatoes, nothing about canning.
I was just curious about that. I helped my dad pick the tomatoes, and I helped my mother can the tomatoes. And I never witnessed anything like what you said there, that it would separate and you'd have a clear, like, water portion and it would separate out. Oh, boy. So, anyway, you made me hungry for dried tomatoes in olive oil. That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, thank you for that, Chad. Gary, what do you think about dried tomatoes and olive oil?
Wayne, you've seen me, Larry. I'll try anything once, and if I don't like it, I'll leave it alone the next time around.
Please say that. Right before you say how good a cook that your sweet wife is, and I can believe all that. We are so fortunate, we men, are we not? Everybody raise their hand. Yes, sir. Gary, you have a good night, won't you? And we'll just get together to do this again. It's such so much fun. KI4 DOS, DOS, KK4 JBQ.
Okay, Larry, it is a lot of fun, and I'll have to get with you and Chad and tell you how to make kimchi one of these days. That's where you take a cabbage and you go out in the backyard and dig your hole and put your clay pot down there and cover it up with dirt and let it lay there for two or three days. It smells terrible, but it tastes pretty good once it comes out. So we'll get into that later, though. But appreciate you being with us and taking the time to talk with us a little bit this evening, Larry. Tell Miss Donna when she gets back that we said hello, and tell her that we really had a wonderful time when we got together, and we'll have to do that again real soon. But y'all take care and enjoy your kitty cats. And, oh, I was going to say one other thing about the house feeling empty. Yes, it does. I know when Joy goes up to Barbara's, you know, she used to go up there and stay for three or four or five days a week or so. And until she got ready to come home, or I couldn't stand it anymore, and I went to Statesville and picked her up, and I said, just after you come home. So I know the feeling well. And even though that you are relatively quiet folk, you know, when the other part of you is not there, there's something missing. And I get it. So in the meantime, you take care. It won't be long, and everything will be back to normal. Any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Correct you tonight is Mr. Ken, KA2AXQ, over in Pickens. Ken, how are you this evening there, young man?
Yes, KA2AXQ. Well, we were doing good when we told you we would chat. then I took my medicine, and I'm not too awful coherent right now, but I think I can handle it for a minute or two. I was going to talk to you about my garden. Let me let this reset. I have a garden. My wife wanted to grow some squash and cucumbers, and we had the best looking, most beautiful green squash plants that I have ever grown. They were fabulous. Well, we found out there's a groundhog in the neighborhood, and he likes the leaves. And he came out here and ate every leaf off of the squash plants. Off of the squash plants. Never touched the cucumbers, but he loved those squash plants. And I've been wondering, are those plants still going to grow even though they don't have leaves on them? They still have a full-length stem, and, you know, the stem is hollow. But are they still going to grow, or do you think they're going to die? Over.
It has been my experience. I've gone out there and haven't had the the problem with the groundhogs, but in harvesting the squash and stuff, I've cut the leaves off the plants, and if it's still thriving down towards the bottom and it's still growing, I would say leave it alone and see what happens. It's not certain that it'll come back out, but I've cut the leaves off and it, you know, left the tubes there, the stems, and the plant has continued to grow. What I have done on another occasion is where, you know, how they spread out and kind of run a little bit. I take some dirt and cover it, the plant up, and it would take root there and start up a new plant.
Run starting a new plant. I also have four tomato plants, and I was told that they were, what are they called? Beef steak tomatoes. But these tomatoes are no bigger than a golf ball, and they're supposed to be, you know, beef steak tomatoes. And I think I got taken by my son-in-law when he grew them. I think he probably gave us cherry tomatoes or something. But they're not turning red yet. But boy, I'll tell you, the plants are loaded with tomatoes, or...
Another crazy part that a lot of people don't realize, I went to a nursery and got some tomato plants, and I bought three beefsteaks, and the rest I bought were Roma tomatoes. Well, no, I take that back. I bought a Better Boy. One Better Boy, the other two were beefsteak, and the other, what did I get? The other 10 of them or 12 of them were Roma tomatoes. Joy likes to can aromas. Now, the ones that were labeled a beefsteak, it turned out to be cherry tomatoes. They're about the size of a big plum. They're not the small cherry tomatoes. They're a little bit larger than that. They're probably, maybe inch and a quarter or something like that. Cherry tomatoes, which are pretty good size, but the guy had those listed as beefsteaks. I don't know if they were just mislabeled from the nursery, or if somebody went out and played a trick and swapped the cherry tomato stickers for the beef steaks or what. But mine did the same thing.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of times the wrong seeds will get the wrong package. I bought some seeds from a place out in Iowa. I bought like 10 different packs last year and planted them. And my, let's see, what were they? They were supposed to be squash plants, but they turned out to be birdhouse gourd plants. And I had vines 30 foot long out in my backyard. I mean, my wife says she better cut the ones by the back door because they're creeping right towards the house. So I did. But out of that mess, I got over 200 birdhouse gourds. And I guess I timed it out. I didn't know what to do with them, so I just stacked them up in the yard, told people they were free, and nobody wanted them. But I got about four of them here in the house. A big one and a couple small ones. KA2AXQ, back to net control.
The DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net for KA2AXQ, Mr. Ken over at Pickens. Those birdhouse gourds are make really, really good birdhouses. I was trying to think. It's, oh gosh, I can't remember the bird that uses them. It's not bluebirds. Some some of the bluebirds would. You will use them if you make the hole small enough. I want to say it's a lark. Is that right?
Be a lark, or it could be a purple martin. Over.
Purple martin. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, they make beautiful purple martin houses, and my granddad used to have those hanging up. You know, at his house, he made a frame up there, and he went up and put like four across, and then it went up a little higher, and he put two, and then, had like six or seven or eight of them right there together. But he also planted a different kind of a gourd. It was a long handle. He called it a long handle. It was a long neck gourd. And he made dippers out of them. And I had one up until, gosh, I don't know, it just been quite a few years back, but it belonged to my grandfather. And he used it to, we dipped water out of the well. You know, we'd get the bucket, drop the bucket down in the well and pull it up and use that gourd to dip water out of the bucket and drink it. And he gave me that, and I kept it for a long time. And I don't remember, one of the children broke it, and I tried to repair it, and that didn't work out too well, so I think it got trashed. But I wished I still had that thing.
Well, super glue works good for putting gourds back together in case you ever break one. What you do is you put the super glue on the item that you want glued, and then you immediately put baking soda on it, and it immediately makes it hard. I mean, you can sand it down, you can drill it, you can cut it with a saw and everything else. And if Larry's still listening, there is a YouTube channel called Living Traditions Homestead. And that lady, it's Kevin and Sarah, and that lady does all kinds of things with tomatoes. I mean, she cans them, she freezes them, she dehydrates them. Freeze dries them. She does everything with tomatoes. And that would be the best place to look. Again, it's called Living Traditions Homestead on YouTube. But go to her channel and do a search for tomatoes. You'd be amazed at what she does with different tomatoes. But, I love gardening. This year, I just couldn't get out and do it because of my legs.
Man, that, I really enjoy gardening myself, Ken. Digging in the dirt is good therapy for me. If I'm angry, I can take the hoe or the shovel or the pickaxe or the mattock or whatever and just really swing it hard. And it doesn't hurt anything, but it makes the ground soft. So I guess that's one way to work out your frustrations. I just like getting out there and digging in the dirt and staying in the sunshine. And, of course, you got to stay hydrated when you're doing that. But I'm sorry your legs wouldn't let you do it. As we get older, our bodies tell us, we need to slow down. It's not that our minds don't think we can do it. It's just our bodies won't let us.
Well, I'm a diabetic, and up until about 3 or 4 days ago, I've had neuropathy from my knees down to the end of my toes and wasn't really able to do much of anything. If I got down on my knees, my wife would have to come over and help me get back up. But the past 3 or 4 days, it's like it's gone. And I don't know if it's gone away for good or if it's just subsiding and it's going to come back in a week or, a month or whatever. But I'm hoping it's gone for good. Over.
Ms. Ken, Joy has neuropathy in her feet as well. And every once in a while she'll say, it's like they're on fire and she's like they're sticking pins and stuff in them. And it really pains her to walk across the floor. But it goes away, and then it'll come back, and then it'll go away, and it'll come back. But this, hers is just, like I said, it's in her feet, and it's not all the way up to her knees or anything yet. So I hope if yours is gone now, it stays gone.
Well, according to the gurus on the internet, it's not going to go away. So it may not be neuropathy. It may just be old age or something. But the doctor sent me out some medicine. It really doesn't do anything for my feet. But boy, it really messes up my head, Nora.
Kid, sometimes, the doctors go by what the pharmacist or what these drug salesmen tell them. And sometimes I don't think they know what the stuff really does. I will have to say that my GP, he stays up on all of that stuff, and he watches watches out for me and Joy, what we take, and he doesn't want, matter of fact, he had prescribed one medication, and one of her other doctors, her kidney doctor, prescribed something else, and he said, oh, no, she can't take that. She's already taking this. The side effects, she can't do that. So her kidney doctor changed his pill, whatever it was that he wanted her to take. But, if the doctors don't stay on top of it, you take one medication for something and a different one for something else. And they get in your body and start fighting each other. That's not good.
KI4DOS. I'll tell you, I went into my doctor's office one day, and he professes to be, really up to date and knowledgeable about diabetes and everything. And I've been going to him for about 28 years now, the same doctor. And I read someplace that cinnamon was supposed to be good for diabetics. So I asked him, is cinnamon good for diabetes? And he said, oh, yeah, that'll lower your blood sugar real fast. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, why didn't you tell me that before you started prescribing all this other medicine? But anyway, I'm still alive, Lord.
It goes back to the home remedies and stuff that people used to do a long time ago to take care of stuff. it's a natural remedy, but yet the doctors won't prescribe it because they want the latest, greatest stuff that came out of the pharmaceutical companies, and it's supposed to do the same thing, but it doesn't normally work as well.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another thing that works real good too. And it's a plant called moringa. It's a tree that it comes from India. It's grown in India, Africa, and one or two other countries. But I'll tell you, that has done a lot of good for me, too. Every part of the tree is edible. But what I do is I just use the leaves and make tea out of it and drink the tea. I mix a little honey with it because it's not bitter, but it doesn't have any sweetness to it at all. And let me let this reset. I've had a couple kilos of it ground up and powderized to make tea with. And I got, it's not supposed to grow north of Florida, but I've been growing it like it's going out of style. And I got two trees out here that are over 3 years old, and they're still in pots, and they put out a lot of leaves over.
Again, don't tell those trees that they're not supposed to grow north of Florida, because if they don't know it, just leave them alone. Keep on letting them grow and taking care of them that way so you can make that tea. That tea sounds pretty interesting. It was funny. I was reading about different teas earlier today, and what they were good for, and like a chamomile tea is good to, if you want to get sleepy and go to sleep, you take, drink a little bit of that. If you want to stay up, you drink black tea. And I mean, there's all kinds of different teas that you can drink. And I thought that was pretty interesting, especially when you came in there and started talking about the tea that you drink.
Well, you could take this powdered leaves, and you can sprinkle it on your food, and, you know, like put it on spaghetti, or you can put it on anything you want to. And it's supposed to be the most nutritious plant on the earth. And it has cured over 300 different diseases, and it's historically known for curing those 300 different diseases, but it goes right to the cellular level in your body, and it kind of like rejuvenates any cells that have died or went bad or something like that. And I've been playing with that for a couple of years. And you can take the seeds for the trees, and seeds are in a shell, like a walnut shell, and you break the shell off them, and you can eat the seeds and get tremendous nutrition from the seeds. But the trick of putting it on food is, you don't put it on the food while you're cooking it. You put it on the food after you put it on your plate. Because if it gets over 102 degrees, it loses a lot of nutrition real fast. Over.
Yeah, you learn something new every day. I did not know that, Ken. That's amazing. There's a lot of seasonings that are good to put on your food while you're preparing it, when you're cooking it or whatnot. And then there's others that are better if you use them as side dressing after it's cooked. And I guess that's the way you would use that, is a kind of like a side dressing, like if you bit into some green beans, and you say, well, I think these need a little more salt, and you take the salt shaker and shake it out a little bit. They're not that hot as to where they would take the nutrients out of that particular plant, and it make it taste a little better or a little different anyway.
Exactly. You can put it on eggs. You can put it on anything, and it actually takes the flavor of whatever it is you're eating, and it gives it a little more flavor to the food. But you're exactly right about 102 degrees, keeping it below that. You use it like salt and pepper, like you said, and I would say it's really good, but how good is really good? Or
AOS in the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, KA2AXQ. Well, that's exactly right, Ken. It's just, it all boils down to your point of view and what your reference point is, I would guess.
Well, you can even go out and take the leaves off the tree and just eat them right straight off the tree. I do that a lot when I go out to the garden. I'll peel a bunch of leaves off and eat them. And it kind of has a flavor of clover, the raw leaves, and I haven't eaten any of the stems or the roots or anything like that, but I kind of like it. It's my favorite plant to mess around with. I've got a pepper plant here. Let me let this reset. Pepper plant. It's called Thai red pepper from Taiwan, and it's spelled T-H-A-I, and my son got the seeds from someplace. I don't know where he got them from, but he brought them to me in a medicine bottle, and I took and planted them, grew a plant, and the peppers only get about an inch long, but I'll tell you, I don't know if you know what Scoville units are, but that's the measure of the hotness of peppers. Let me let this reset. These Scoville units are between 50,000 and 100,000 units. And I guess that's, you know, one of the hottest peppers there is. But I took a little teeny piece off it, about half the size of, oh, I don't know, but not as big as a piece of crumb off a piece of toast. And when that touched my tongue, it set my head on fire. And I can't imagine anybody eating one of those whole poppin' peppers, over.
Ken, you ought to take some of those to the pepper eating contest and see if the people can eat them. I'm not going to be one of those that was going to try it. I've got some friends that brought some, well, I've been to their house and they fixed some food, and they told me, they said, don't eat the green sauce, you eat the red sauce. I said, why not? They said, the green sauce is too hot for you. I said, okay. So I didn't ask them what was in it, and didn't care. I didn't eat any of the green sauce, I ate the red. It was warm, it was not what you would call overly hot, but you could tell it had some heat to it, but it had a really, really good flavor. But I don't care that much for those really, really hot peppers like that. There's a lot of folks that do. I do like cooking with that sort of stuff every once in a while because it gives whatever you're cooking a different flavor. And it most of the time it doesn't put that much heat into it. But to eat it raw like you were doing and putting it on your tongue, I'm not going to do it. I'll let you do that.
A trick to eating hot peppers. The juice from a cucumber will neutralize the acid from the hot peppers. So you can eat three or four slices of cucumber and then sit down and eat hot pepper potato chips or something. I mean, it won't bother you at all. That's how people win the pepper eating contest, or.
And that, I guess that lets me out all the way around because I love Joy Fix's bread and butter pickles out of the cucumbers. And I love those. I can eat most any kind of pickles, but to eat a raw cucumber, they do not like me. And I don't like them. They give me indigestion and other things that I don't eat cucumbers. Raw cucumbers, that is. And if they're pickled or whatnot, I'll eat them and don't have any problems with them. So I guess I'll have to leave the raw cucumbers and hot peppers to you.
I know what you mean there, Gary. Well, it's kind of late. It's 11 o'clock, so I'm going to jump out of here and let you get some rest tonight. And we'll probably talk with you Wednesday night. So... thank you very much for being net control. We all appreciate it, and we appreciate all the work you put into it. And I know it's a lot of work because I used to do net control on a UHF repeater, and the people would drive me crazy at times. Anyway, we'll talk to you later, and God bless you, my friend, and have a good evening. KI4DOS, this is KA2AXQ. We'll be clear on your final, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Ken. Good talking with you this evening. I hadn't talked to you in a long time. I enjoyed it. I'm going to come over to your place and see those trees that you've got that's been growing for about 3 years in a pot. I'm going to come over to see you, and then I will go visit the trees. We'll do it that way. But next time I'm over in Pickens, you know, I feel sorry for you because I haven't And I'm ashamed of myself because I've been to Pickens on several different occasions and haven't taken the time to run by your place to see you and to check on you. But I'm going to do that in the near future. I'll give you a holler first on the phone, make sure you're there and you're not at a doctor's appointment or something like that. But I am going to come visit with you. You take care, Ken. Enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again. God bless you, young man. We have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.